If you will, bow with me. Father, we do thank you for this day and the blessings you've given us. We thank you for guiding us and directing us in our paths. We thank you for bringing us here today that we might fellowship one with another. And Father, we may gather together with God's people who have a desire to praise and glorify you for the salvation that you have wrought through Jesus Christ, your Son. And Father, you are the holy and righteous God. You bring all things to come to pass in our lives. And Father, in whatever situations we find ourselves, our salvation comes from you, whether it be physical, Father, emotional, or spiritual. Father, you are our Savior, and we do thank you. We thank you for the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, Father, that each and every day we would be a testimony to you, that we might be an example that people would see in us a little bit of, Father, what it is to be your children. We thank you for being compassionate and kind and just and righteous. And we thank you, Father, for your salvation. We thank you for all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We are, once again, we've started a study in the Psalms of Ascent. There are 15 of them. They start at Psalm 120 and they go to Psalm 134. The Psalms of Ascent, there are four that were written or attributed to David. There is one that is attributed to Solomon. There is one that's anonymously written, but it is about David. And there are nine that are totally anonymous. We don't know who the authors are. It could have been attributed to Hezekiah or Ezra or Nehemiah, and some of the commentators that I've been looking at suggest that that would be true. I'm going to go into this a little bit more as we go along, but the Word of God is a progressive revelation of what God does in the midst of men. And as we read Scripture, we can see how it applies to various time points. And it may be for that reason why God doesn't define when the psalm is written or by who. This one is attributed to David, so we know that it is in his time period. But because the Word of God has one author, that is God himself, the words given by inspiration, it's God breathed by the Holy Spirit to men of God who wrote the very words of God, we're going to be able to see in here that there are verses in other parts of the Scripture at later times than in David's time that equally are affected or have this applied to what is being voiced here in the psalm. We very much appreciate the fact that this is a time when the Israelites would travel. They would have a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. They would go up to Jerusalem. That's why they're called Psalms of Ascents. They are also called Psalms of Degrees or Gradual Psalms or the Pilgrim Psalms. And we have looked at Psalm 120, where the psalmist asks for deliverance from treacherous or evil men, understanding that the Lord answers the cries of his people. Psalm 121, the Lord is described as being the guardian or the protector or the keeper of Israel. And it is there's an understanding in Psalm 121 that the psalmist's help comes from the Lord. And we're going to see that again here in Psalm 124. Psalm 122, the joyful journey and a prayer for the peace of Jerusalem. It was also written by David. Psalm 123, we looked at last time. It looks to the Lord of mercy in the midst of persecution. Today we're looking at Psalm 124. My designation in the scriptures I have says it's praise for the rescue from enemies. And it very well could have been and was attributed to David and the time of his ascent to the kingship of Israel. So I'm going to go ahead and read Psalm 124. It says, "Had it not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, had it not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, when they would have swallowed us alive, when their anger was kindled against us, when the waters would have engulfed us, the stream would have swept over our soul. then the raging waters would have swept over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us to be torn by their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the trapper. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And again, I want to again emphasize that these psalms were written to be sung by the people, by the nation. And David here is encouraging the nation as they travel to sing to the Lord. And verses 1 and 2, I first want to say that it was prescribed that they go up to Jerusalem to worship and glorify the Lord, to offer their sacrifices of thanksgiving. This is what the people were doing when they made pilgrimage to Jerusalem, as their desire was to worship, to glorify, and to offer sacrifices of thanksgiving to God. It's very appropriate for our time of the year right now to remember that we are to come and we are to gather together and fellowship one with another and offer thanksgiving to God for all of the blessings He has given. If we wanted to look at the times of the year that these feasts were to be presented to the Lord, it would have been, we can find them in Deuteronomy chapter 16 and Leviticus chapter 23. Now, these were feasts, which was the Passover, the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles, and the Feast of Pentecost or First Fruits. These were to be perpetual feasts. That's why even in Jesus' time we find the people traveling to Jerusalem, that they might come together at the Passover time to remember the great and mighty deeds that God did during the Passover in Egypt, where the people were released from their bondage from Egypt. You know, that's a tremendous example. It's a tremendous type for us as Christians to be able to look back at Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to save us from our sins, save us from our bondage to sin and evil. And we note in Luke chapter 2, verse 41 to 45, that Jesus Christ was taken to Jerusalem. It says, every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. That was their common practice. They gathered together with family and with friends. They traveled together in a company. It was both for safety from the elements as well as safety from bandits and marauders. And they traveled to Jerusalem to worship God and offer their sacrifices. And we know that at the day of Pentecost, when the disciples gathered together, it was on the day of Pentecost that the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples as flames over their heads, and they began speaking in tongues of many nations. And it was indicated there that there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And they were asking themselves at this point in time at the Pentecost, what is this that is happening? How is it that we hear these men preaching the mighty works of God in our own language? And the nations that were represented there in Jerusalem at the time were Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and its districts of Libya, around Cyrene, visitors from Rome. They were both Jews that were naturally born, and they were proselytes, those who had converted to Judaism, but they were all coming together in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. They're listening to them talk and speak and teach the mighty deeds of God in their own language. We know that at the time of Christ's death, that He celebrated the Passover feast with the disciples. These feasts were to be regularly and perpetually celebrated by the people of God. And this is what the Hebrews are reminded of by the songs of ascents as they traveled to Jerusalem, as they sang the songs that told them of their God, told them of who He was, what He had done for them, and looking forward to what God was going to do for them in the future. Psalm 124, verses 1 and 2 said, "Had it not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, had it not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us." There's several things here. Number one, the call here in this song was for the people to look to the Lord. That was Yahweh. That was Jehovah. It was the self-sustaining name of God. The Creator, the covenant-keeping, loyal-loving God of Israel. And the people were told in this very beginning of the psalm, remember, if it hadn't been that God was on our side, what would we have done? How would we have been saved? We would not have been able to do this by ourselves. Matter of fact, the phrase on our side, if the Lord was not on our side, is actually a past tense of the word Emmanuel, which is God with us. He's saying God was with us as a nation, and we are looking forward, or they were looking forward, to a Redeemer that was to come to save his people from their sins, who would be God with us. We look back. God was with us in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who came, who lived, who taught us of God, who gave himself as a sacrifice for sin, that sin that we could not redeem ourselves from. David reminds the people in the beginning of this song that it was the Lord and the Lord only that was capable of saving them. If we were to think about what they might have been reminded of and take the case of David, we could go to Second Samuel chapter 5, verses 17 and on. And it says, "When the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over all Israel, all of the Philistines went up to seek out David. And when David heard of it, he went down to the stronghold." Now, they were not going up to seek David to pay tribute to him or to pay honor to him. No, they wanted to be rid of David. And David recognizes that. He recognizes that they are coming up against him as a flooding army into the land, seeking his demise. It says, "Now the Philistines came up and spread themselves out in the valley of Rephaim. Then David inquired of the Lord, 'Shall I go up against the Philistines? Wilt thou give them into my hand?' And the Lord said to David, 'Go up, for I will certainly give the Philistines into your hand.'" Maybe this was a thought that was promoted by the understanding that this was a psalm of David, a remembrance of the fact that when men rose up against Israel, and rose up against David in particular, that the Lord was with him. The Lord answered his prayer. The Lord gave him direction and instruction on what to do about this attacking, advancing Philistine army. And it was the Lord that caused the destruction of the Philistine army, the protection of David, the protection of the nation of Israel. I think Pastor Bryant's going to be very happy that I am starting to read between the lines here and understand what may have been going through the minds of these Hebrew pilgrims as they travel along singing these songs of ascents. We talk about the name of the Lord. If we go to Exodus chapter 34, verses 5 to 7, the Lord describes himself to Moses on the mountain when Moses went up to get the second set of stone tablets. And it says, "The Lord descended in a cloud and stood there before him," that is Moses, "and Moses called upon the name of the Lord. And then the Lord passed in front of him and proclaimed," this is what the Lord described himself as, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth," or faithfulness, "who keeps loving kindness for thousands and who forgives iniquity and transgression and sin." Wow, had it not been for the Lord, how would we ever stand before him? because he is only because he is a gracious and compassionate God, and he forgives iniquity and transgression and sin. The great thing about scriptures is because it is progressive and there is one author, these thoughts are common and continuous and consistent throughout scriptures. In Jonah chapter 4 and verse 2, a peculiar time because Jonah was actually disheartened, dissatisfied, a little angry with the Lord because he went to Nineveh to preach to the Ninevites a message that God was coming to judge. And why would he be dissatisfied with that? Jonah 4, chapter verse 2 says, "And Jonah prayed to the Lord, and he said, 'Please, Lord, was this not what I said while I was in my own company? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish. For I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, and you're slow to anger, and you're abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity.'" And the story of Jonah is pretty well known. The Lord called Jonah to go to the Ninevites and to preach a message of judgment on the people of Nineveh. And in the beginning of the book of Jonah, all we know is that Jonah decided, "No, I'm not going to go to Nineveh. I think I'll get on a ship and go to Tarshish, and this is not the direction that you head for to get to Nineveh." And it's not till later in the book that we find out why he did that. He knew that God was gracious and compassionate and slow to anger and forgiving. And that's why he didn't want to have the Ninevites have an opportunity to repent, which is exactly what they did. It's actually what we should all be doing when we listen to the Word of God. Understand there is a holy and righteous God in heaven who's declared our way of salvation, and that is through Jesus Christ, his Son. It is he who came to seek and save the lost. It's he that came to save his people from their sin. And it's all in keeping with the very nature of God, who is compassionate and slow to anger and gracious and one who forgives sin and iniquity. Isaiah 43, again, consistent with what the name of the Lord is. It says, "But now thus says the Lord, your Creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." If these pilgrims are traveling to Jerusalem in David's time, they may not have understood or recognized this. This is well after David's time, but that's the wonderfulness of Scripture. Because God's word is a progressive revelation, but it's consistent because it is God's word. What a wonderful thing for us to know that our Lord is the creator of all things. And it is by his power that we are able to stand and be sustained in our daily lives. And whatever we to experience, whatever situation we find ourselves in, if we're under spiritual attack by Satan, if we are under physical attack by others, if we're under emotional stress and strain of daily life, God is with us. God is our helper. And we need only to call upon him. He answers his people. He seeks for their good. Psalm 124, verses 3, 4, and 5 says, "When they would have swallowed us alive or destroyed us completely, when their anger was kindled against us or burned against us, the waters would have engulfed us, the stream would have swept over our soul, then the raging waters would have swept over our soul." And our soul there is the same as life or person, or it would have completely destroyed us as a being. God protected the nation, but he also protects us individually. And the nation here of Israel, the pilgrims that were traveling, making their ascent to Jerusalem, singing this song, were to remember It doesn't matter how fierce the attack is. It can be slow and constant and steady and energy draining, or it could be swift attack of the evil one. In whatever context we find ourselves, in whatever context the nation found themselves, it was the Lord God Almighty that protected them, that saved them, that rescued them from their situation. Even when the anger was burning against them. And I've got a couple of references here that, again, 2 Samuel 5, 17 to 20, David was attacked by the Philistines when he very became king of Israel. They were certainly not happy to have David as king of Israel. And they came in fierce battle. I know Jim has mentioned before, this wasn't a battle where you shoot a missile and about 15, 20 miles away it lands and destroys something. This was with a sword. Close battle. Hard battles. And it says, unless the Lord God had been with them, they would have been swallowed up alive. They would have been destroyed completely because their anger was kindled or burned against us. I could not help but think of burning anger. And I went to Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 and following. And you will probably know what I'm talking about, because it's discussing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And King Nebuchadnezzar had built a golden image, and he had proclaimed throughout the land that if you hear the psalm and the psaltery and all kinds of musical instruments play, you're supposed to bow down and worship the golden image. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not, would not, and were confident enough to tell Nebuchadnezzar that this was not something they were going to do. And what was their confidence in when they were taking this stance? Starting in verse 16 of chapter 3 of Daniel, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. You already know what our practice is. You already know what our testimony is. You already know that we worship only the one true living God. We don't have to tell you again what is true about that. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire. And then notice they did not say that God was going to save them. They said if God desired, he would save them. But whatever happened in terms of the fire, he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. And what do you think Nebuchadnezzar's response was to that? Was he probably overjoyed to hear that there were men of strong faith? Not so much. Verse 19, then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath. His anger burned against them. He was so affronted by what they said, because they were wanting to worship something other than what Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had set up to worship. He was filled with wrath. And his facial expression was altered toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he answered by giving orders to heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. I'm not happy just to throw you into a furnace of fire. We can make it really hot. They heated it 7 times hotter than it normally was, so much so that the men that carried Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and threw them into the furnace, those men were burned. But not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God did save them out of his hands. They were confident and understanding that the Lord God, could save them if his desire was to save them. They weren't presumptuous that he would, but they were confident in the fact that he was a God that could do that. He was the creator God, the sustaining God. If we looked at the references to waters here, verses 4 and 5, if the waters would have engulfed us and streams swept over our soul or our life, then the raging waters would have swept over our soul. This reminded me so much of flash flooding in Texas. In both instances, in verse 4, the waters engulfed us. It has the idea of a continual rising, a continual weakening of a person trying desperately to keep their head above water. The raging waters would have swept over our soul. Flash floods in Texas. It can be dry as a bone in a creek bed one minute, and it can be a half a mile wide the next minute, and it was just a rush of tremendous current of water. This could be true of our enemies. It could be true of our spiritual being and coming into troubled times. We can have things going on in our lives that just gradually build up and build up and build up and weigh us down and burden us. And we're just trying to keep our head above water. And where should our eyes be but on the Lord? Or it could be swift and quick and hard. Something that happens that we don't even see coming until the last second, that sweeps us away into raging waters. Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 3 says, "But now says the Lord your Creator, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel, do not fear. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you, for I am your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." God has declared himself the Savior of Israel, the nation. He is their deliverer. He's the one who gives victory. He's the one that rescues them. And he gives them blessings that they don't deserve. He gave them the blessings of a freedom from Egypt. He rescued them out of bondage from Egypt. And we as Christians can look and understand that God in our lives rescued us out of sin and darkness and despair. And it is he that is able to do that. We are saved by the blood and the broken body of Jesus Christ and his resurrection, and we have hope. The Lord God is our rescuer, our savior, our protector, our guard. Again, we can go to these many verses in Scripture because Scripture has one author. It's the Lord God himself. The Holy Spirit moved men of God to write the very words of God. And it is consistent, and the thought that comes with it is consistent from beginning to end. And we're going to find out soon at the end that the Lord God is the maker of heaven and earth. And I can't count the numbers of ways and the numbers of times that it is referred to in Scripture that God is the maker of heaven and earth. And we start in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and in the beginning God made the heavens and the earth. We look at, Psalm 124, verse 8, that God is the maker of heaven and earth. If we went to Revelation, the very last book of the Scripture, chapter 14, verse 7, God made the heavens and the earth. It is repetitive, it's consistent. It is something that God wants us to know, wants us to stand on, wants us to understand, and wants us to rely on. The God who can create everything we see is with us. He is a testimony to us. He saves us. And it's because of his power that we are able to stand before him one day. Because of these things, the people of God, the Israelites, in verses 6 and 7, are told to bless the name of the Lord. It says, "Blessed be the Lord who has not given us to be torn by their teeth. Our soul or our life has escaped as a bird out of the snare of a trapper. The snare is broken and we have escaped." The the tense of these verbs here is not that they were able to break free. They were trapped, but they were able to get out of the trap. They were in a snare, but they were able to break it themselves. No, all of this they understand. They are blessing the name of the Lord because it is by His power and His might that they have not been completely destroyed by their enemies. It is by His might that they are no longer trapped or snared, and they are able to escape. It is God Himself, the Maker and Creator, who is able to save them from their attacks of the enemies. I keep thinking of these Psalms of Ascents, and I keep meaning to do it, not because it's a reliable place to go, but there is a movie, Charlton Heston, The Exodus, and when the people are leaving Egypt, they begin singing. And every time I think of these being songs that were written for the people that were going on pilgrimage up to Jerusalem to sacrifice and give God praise and thanksgiving, and it says that they're to sing these songs, I keep thinking, that just flashes in my mind, this huge number of people traveling, singing to the Lord God who released them from their bondage. And verse 6, they are told to blessed be the Lord. That is, the people are to offer blessings to the Lord. They are to praise God for what He has done. They are to offer thanksgiving for what He has done. He saved them even out of the mouth of the attackers that they have, the enemies that they have. It's like being caught in the teeth of a wild beast. It's shaken. I have this image in my head of a mountain lion or a cougar capturing a prey and just shaking it and grinding it. And this is how the people looked at the enemies that they had at the time. It was very real to them in understanding. In verse 7, the escape from a cage or a snare, understanding that the God above saves us and is by His power alone that we are saved. David in this psalm describes great dangers faced by the nation of Israel. And it may be specifically that they were thinking of David and the many battles that he fought. The Lord eventually told David, you're not going to build my temple for me because you're a man of blood. David fought so many wars, so many battles. He went against so many enemies for so long. And then and at last he had the opportunity to be at peace, and he wanted to, above all things, after being at war for so long, David's desire was to build the temple to God. And God said no. I don't rightly know how to understand that. That God would be with David, that God would look to David as being a man after His own heart, to look at David whose sole desire in a time of peace was to build a temple, a house for God, in the city of God, that the people of God might have a place to come and worship and glorify Him, and to be told no. But God has a time and a purpose for all things that He does. And all of the situations that we find ourselves in, like the nation of Israel, whether we're facing physical enemies or spiritual foes, or emotionally we're distressed, spiritually we're not at peace, we look to the Lord God, who is the one, the Creator, the Sustainer, who is able to save us. Charles Haddon Spurgeon quoted George Horn, who took this to potentially mean a spiritual warfare. And we know that Satan roams about the world looking, seeking someone to devour. So a reminder of an animal and grinding teeth. But their troubles come in many forms and fashions. And George Horn was quoted as saying, "Save us, O God, from the rage and the subtlety of our spiritual adversary. Save us from his teeth when he would devour. Save us from his snares when he would deceive." And whether it be physical battles or spiritual battles, our strength, our confidence, our ability to stand against them is found only in God. It is found only in the Lord God himself, creator and maker of the heavens and the earth and the sustainer of all that we see. Psalm 124, verse 8 says, "Our help is in the name of the Lord." That was the very first two verses of this psalm. David starts out, "If the Lord had not been with us, if the Lord had not been with us, we would not have survived any of these things." As a nation, David was looking at the thought that Israel, Jim notes it all the time, tiny little Israel is still the centerpiece of all that's going on in the world. It will continue to be the centerpiece. All of the nations are going to come against it one day. And these are the things that we need to remember, that Yahweh, Jehovah, God, our blessed Lord and Savior, preserves us, protects us, saves us, rescues us from whatever situation we find ourselves in, even as the nation of Israel was protected and saved and preserved by the work of God. Because our help, they declare in this song, is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. I've already mentioned, I don't know how many times it's been, the God made the heavens and the earth. God made the earth and the heavens. God created the heavens and the earth. God created the earth. Throughout Scripture, always a common thread and always consistent, again, because we have one author of our Scriptures, and that is the Lord God himself. Wasn't going to do it, and I shouldn't, but I'm going to. Psalm 103. This ends in verses 6 and 7 that we should bless the name of the Lord and understand in verse 8 that our help comes from the Lord. And if we go to Psalm 103, which is one of my favorites, it's just a high, high look and view to God and blessing his holy name. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, that your youth is renewed like eagles. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. And just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." These pilgrims of the nation of Israel traveling up to Jerusalem to offer their thanksgiving and their sacrifices to God at these times of the years that were prescribed perpetually to be done, was to be a reminder of, this is our God who is to be blessed above all things, maker and creator of the heavens and the earth, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. If it were not for his workings in us, none of us would be able to stand in his very presence. And we went to Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we say to these things? And I'm taking it out of context, I'm sorry, but it definitely applies here. What are we supposed to say about all of these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Who is against us? And I hope you are coming today to be in the midst of God's people, to have fellowship with them, to come and to glorify God for the salvation He has wrought, to give thanksgiving, to offer praise to Him, to lift up His name for what He has done. And remember, if God is for us, who can be against us? If you'll bow with me now. Father, we do thank You for this time You've given us to be able to look into Your Word, Father, to understand and to know more about You and Your character and Your workings of who You are, Father, of what You have done, of what You will do in the future. We look, Father, with a hope of being able to stand before You in glory, dressed in a righteousness that is not our own, but that of Jesus Christ, Your Son, and it is by His salvation that we are able to stand before You. Father, we thank You for this time. We thank You for this day. And we pray, Father, that we may understand in each and every day, in each and every situation, if You are with us, who is against us? We thank You for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.